Hello, everyone. Let me get my microphone on, get the right thing turned on.
Okay. Switching abrupt gears. It's just on the coach's call and had to like basically say, get off, time to coach. Let's see who's getting coached today. Oh, that's Facebook Live. Sorry, wrong thing. Jennifer, Michelle, Jolene, Melissa, and Angela. Raise your hand. All right, Jen, here we go. Let's get your... So what are we coaching on?
Okay. Well, thank you for having me, first of all.
Are you nervous?
I'm very nervous, yeah. I'm talking to the queen.
Well, yeah. If you knew what I was talking about 5 minutes ago, you'd be like, oh my God, I'm not nervous now.
Okay. Okay. So I think my biggest thing that's coming up, I joined in April, but I started following you in February on your podcast, and I've lost 25 pounds. I'm feeling good, but I have about 100 to lose, and I'm really good at losing a little bit and feeling better and then sort of letting it slide. And the difference this time is I'm doing all your thought work. That's never been anything I've done before, and I'm getting a ton out of it. And it's made me realize, I think I haven't had or I haven't kept the weight off in the past that I've lost because food is my friend, food is my entertainment. And while I can kind of not use food for that for a little while, it creeps back in. You know, I start to get bored or I feel
Does
like,
it creep back in ever?
I'm sorry?
Does food
Say that again?
Ever creep back in?
No, it doesn't. I mean, my feelings of loneliness creep back in. Because
no, they don't either.
No. Okay.
I want you to imagine food and loneliness. And they're both wearing a mask and a hamburger cape. And this around your house.
Right.
No. You know what they do? Like it will always be, this is one of the reasons I'm pointing this out is because of the way you're describing, I can see exactly where your problems are. It's the way you're describing how it always happens. You're describing it as if it happens to you. It just comes back. I just notice. It's like, always remember, it's always because a decision was made at some point.
Right.
Like if you're lonely, it is because a decision was made to think lonely thoughts. It wasn't because loneliness came back. And usually probably what happens is it takes you about 25 pounds and not having food for the thoughts that you had been avoiding to start truly coming up. That happens a lot.
True. Yes, so I would agree with
like
that.
It's happening to you or creeping in or anything. It's like, oh, when I lose 25 pounds, I've put enough separation between me and food for the things that I think that trigger my loneliness to be on my radar now. They can't be on their radar when I'm eating.
Right. That's correct. Yeah. So I guess my question is, how do I then, with this knowledge, replace that role that food used to play and find, you know, things to do outside of food? You know, how do I...
Well, the problem is that you were... It's the loneliness and not wanting to experience it.
Okay.
So I'm either going to eat or I'm going to find something else to not experience loneliness rather than what if we just sit and be lonely a little bit to figure out why we're choosing to feel lonely?
Okay.
What is it that we're doing in our brain that's generating that? So why are you lonely?
Well, and that's the thing. I'm not alone. I have a husband. I have 3 kids. But I feel very like I'm the extrovert in the family and everybody else, they're introverted. So they're happy to stay home, Yeah. Sorry, my dog is losing it over the Amazon delivery guy.
It's okay.
you know, they're happy to stay home, be in their lane, do their thing, while I want to get out and do and be with people. Like, they recharge and get their energy by doing their thing, and I get mine by being out. And while I do go out and do my own things, I have friends I hang out with and stuff, I feel kind of, if I do it too often, I feel kind of guilty, because even though they're happy as clams to be doing their own thing, I feel like, and this is silly, but I shouldn't want to be out there without them doing things, if that makes any sense.
If they're happy and you like being here, why shouldn't you just enjoy the fact that you have a family that obviously enjoys you not being there? It's like, thank God she's not here. I don't want to go out. Like, let mama be the one that does all that.
Right. Well, and I think they're happier too when I go out, because I think if I stay in, I get a little passive aggressive about being bitter about staying in. You know what I'm saying? I get kind of like, I want them to go out, and it's hard because.
Why is it hard? Because this sounds super simple to me. I have a family that loves to stay in. I like to go out. I go out. They're very happy with that. Mm-hmm. This is a beautiful relationship.
That's a good question, I guess, because I wish they did go out with me.
That's where the pain is. That's why you feel lonely. Because you want them to want to go out with you. And they don't want to.
Right, right.
What do you make it mean that they just want to stay home? They don't want to go with you. They have no interest in your
family. What do I make it mean? I guess that they don't want to be with me.
That's the pain. This is why you regain weight. Because after a while of like, okay, like I've taken away my food, I've done these things. Now I'm going to go out and do the things I enjoy, and I'm going to feel guilty, which is a mask. Because what really is going on is I'm making it mean they don't love me because they don't like the same things I do. So do you not love them? Are you like, oh,
of course not. No, of course I do.
You're a bunch of introverts. I do not love you. That is why I'm leaving.
Yeah. And it's when you put it that way, it sounds so silly when you put it that way. Like when I hear you say it. Yeah.
Well, and that is why it's so important you're doing this work, because it's a silly thought error that your brain's just moving on.
Definitely. So how do I just then need to replace that with a thought that isn't stupid, you know, that is more, you know, like you said, accepting of like, they're happy doing what they're doing, and I'm doing what I need to do for me to be out and get the energy from other people. And then then it doesn't really mean anything deeper. It's just, we're doing what we like to do.
Yeah. Everybody's getting to do what they want to do. This is great. I could have one of those families that bitches every time I leave. Thank God for that.
And they don't. They understand that I need that, especially my husband. And he's such a sweetheart, because he'll come and do social things with me. And I know it's just not his jam, but he, you know, somebody had said to him, well, why did you come out with us on the boat for the day if this isn't your thing? And he said, well, because I really love my wife and I know it would make her happy. So
yeah. The only work you really need to do is probably for you is doing some, like, and a lot of us don't do this enough, is I think your TDLs need to be on the more beautiful side of how things are going.
Okay.
Like, you know, my family loves me so much, and here's how I know. Like, my husband's willing to go sit on a damn boat all day long, and he doesn't even like going. He's even willing to tell other people how much he loves me publicly.
Explain
why he's even here. You know, his explanation could have been, well, you know, Jen's a bitch and makes me go places.
Yeah, no, He would never.
Admit, you know, I mean, I think it's for you. Yeah. It's like you just have, I think, an underlying old story of like, well, sure. I have to do this alone. Like when you, especially when you triggered loneliness, the only reason why you're triggering loneliness is because you think they don't love you when they don't have the same interests as you, rather than being like, they have interests, I have interests. They obviously love me because they don't even complain when I go. You won't feel lonely anymore because now you all feel like you're doing, it's like you're together in the decision on what you guys as a family love versus right now what you're doing to yourself is saying we are separate as a family doing what we love. When you're not, you're all still very connected, whether you're together or not, because you all like each other and respect each other.
Right. And that is definitely how I've been viewing it, is like we are separate from. Even, you know, if I go do an activity, I always feel, even though nobody's asking, I always feel like I have to be like, well, you know, I have a husband and children at home, you know, like I have to make up this story about why I'm alone kind of thing. I don't know. It's silly, but so I'm just going to embrace, embrace my need to go out and be social and make it not mean anything more than I'm just
lucky,
taking care of me.
Blessed.
For sure. Truly.
You know,
truly.
And I think that that is part of the thought work that so many of us don't do enough of is where it's like, I'm always like, I'm so afraid there's going to be a problem. So I better generate some problems before the real problem comes. You know, like almost like buffering with a problem. So
exactly. Like if you can control it, maybe you can make it not so bad or something. Right. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, cause I don't, if I think about it, I don't really ever do, like positive models. Like my models always tend to start out with a problem that I'm working through and then try to generate a positive thought, you know, to turn my thinking over to it. But that's a really interesting point that like TDLs and models for me don't always, like I don't generally start from a positive place. I'm usually working to get to a positive place. It didn't occur to me to do that.
You work on like really feeling gratitude really for where you're at now, gratitude for your family and finding how all of this is good for you and going to help you with the next 25 pounds and stuff. I really think that's really all that's going on. I just don't think there's anything deep. By the way, I just have to tell you, we have a girl in the tribe named Karma Bob. You look so much like her. I swear to God.
Oh, really?
You have like the same haircut and the same glasses. Like we all kind of have the same haircut and glasses. And so like as you're talking the whole time, I'm just like, oh my gosh, you look so much like Karma.
Well, that's funny. I'll have to look her up after we get off. Yeah.
It's B-O-D-D-Y. It's Karma Body. I think it's body.
My sister from another mister. Yeah.
That's right. All right.
That's very cool. Well, thank you very much. That,
Annie. And congratulations on 25.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye now.
All right. Let's see. Jolene, I'm going to call on you because I think you were trying to get on another call and we didn't, either you weren't on it or I couldn't get to you, but I'm going to call on you now. So I'll make sure we get to it. Hello.
Hi there.
All right. What are we coaching on? I read it, but everybody else needs to hear it.
Oh, it's a disaster. Try not to get emotional, but
it's okay. This is a good place to be emotional.
It's painful. So, yeah, it's kind of like a lifetime move. So my son was supposed to get married in June, and we find out that my son's fiance is having an affair with my daughter's boyfriend.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's life. I get that it's life. I have two kids that are crushed. I'm doing the best I can to stay on top of the positivity bandwagon. And I guess my problem is, I mean, I've done thought downloads, and I mean daily. I mean, I haven't treated this lightly. I've done a ton of personal development. I listen. I write, I talk, and I still feel hatred, resentment, bitterness. I am so pissed off that I'm allowing them to consume my time, to live rent-free in my brain. I mean, and like I say, I just don't know what else to do. I mean, I go to bed continuously. I don't think about my own kids because I really find the blessing in what happened. And I see my kids progressing. I waste my friggin' time thinking about those two and what they did and how evil it was and how rotten they were to our family and continue to be. And I just need some strategies or some other ideas.
Well, what is it that you want to feel? Like, let's just raise above it for a minute. And like you get to hang on to hate and resentment and all that kind of stuff. I'm not asking you to let any of that go just yet, but I want you to kind of just look at it from an upper level view. And it's 20 years down the road. And this part's over.
Right.
And they've gone on to do whatever they're going to do. And your kids have gone on to do whatever they're going to do. How does the version of you in 20 years feel about them now?
How I would like my future 20 years to be?
In 20 years, I want you to think realistically. In 20 years, and you're looking back now, and you're in your body in 20 years, and your kids are both married now, and they have their own kids, and these two people are probably, maybe they're married, or they're off doing, like, you don't know them anymore. They're just gone.
Right.
This is 20 years from now. Mm-hmm. How does she feel about, like, how's she feel?
I feel that it was a blessing for my kids that they both dodged a bullet of probably a lot of future unhappiness, and they're in a much better place with their other spouses than they would have been had they been with the ones that they were supposed to be.
Were they ever supposed to be with them?
I don't think so. No, there's no thought. No,
yeah.
They were not supposed to be with them. And I know that, like, I mean, daily.
But I want to point this out. Do you think in 20 years, do you think that version of you even thinks about them though?
No. No. And I don't know if I'm prematurely thinking, if I haven't given myself enough time, that's where I want to be at tomorrow. Like, I want to say, I don't give a shit where you're at. I don't give a shit what you guys are doing. You don't exist anymore. And I don't know if it's because I want it so bad that I'm obsessing too much about.
I think it's just, you need to first, like, understand and have compassion for yourself that you're the mother and you're going to think these things. Right now, what I'm sensing is, like, what if you're just allowed to, like, when those thoughts come in and just be like, it's normal for a mother to be upset. And it's normal for me to, you know, feel as probably as hard as my kids are feeling right now. Right now, I think you're angry at yourself for doing it. Like, you're adding a layer of bullshit feelings on top of natural resentment and anger. Like, you know where your thoughts are coming from. It shouldn't have happened. They hurt my kids. Like, it's the typical thoughts. Like, I want you to be in a place of, like, what will give you some relief from all of this right now is if you give yourself first relief from judging yourself over it. Like, I just want it to go away.
Right.
I'm mad at myself for even thinking about it. Like,
I am.
All of that is where so much of the emotional energy is getting spent. So I'm saying, like, let's save that emotional energy. The 20-year version of you, she's probably thinking right now, you hurt for your kids. What's wrong with that?
It's completely
That's
normal.
That's how we got over it. Was because we allowed ourselves to hurt alongside our children and for our children.
So, okay, then this goes back to my question. So, allow myself or give myself permission to be like, it's okay to still be having these angry thoughts and this bitterness and this resentment.
Yeah, because let me ask you this. Do you want to be the kind of person who, if your daughter came to you and said, I just want to let you know, my boyfriend is sleeping with my brother's fiance. You want to be the kind of person who's like, I have thought work, honey, and I have risen above all of it, and I'm just not upset about this. Is that the person you want to be? Or do you want to be the kind of person who's like, that's some fucking bullshit. I know you're hurting, and I'm going to hurt right with you. Like, what, you get to decide. I just don't think you're being abnormal. I think you're going through the, like, when I talk about half of life is shit and half of life is good, this is the experience with our children. It's not so great. Their hearts get broken. And sometimes people do shitty things. And then there's going to be a part with our kids where they graduate from high school or they get married. They actually do get married to the right person and they have a grandbaby. And that's the part you get to enjoy immensely. You're just in the part of loving your children that hurts.
Right. And I guess, you know, I understand all that. And I mean, I'm okay with that. I mean, I've been through that. I totally get it's part of life. And as far as I'm concerned, they're going to be stronger, better kids. I dealt with it. You'll deal with it. You'll come out on top of this game. I promise you that. I still have the problem with, why do I go to bed thinking about them? Why do I wake up thinking about them? Why do I think about them throughout the day?
I'm telling
not,
you.
Not my kids. Why?
I know, but you're thinking about, well, it's not your children, but you're thinking about them because they were going to be with your children. Your children are at the effect of what their actions were. So these two people, their actions, you know, sleeping together, being together, whatever, became your children's circumstance. And that also became your circumstance. All three of you are running models on it right now. Mm-hmm. In your model, what if it's just, it's okay to be really upset right now about this? It's also normal for it to want to keep coming back into my head. The only reason why it's happening over and over again is because it's new and I need to just be like, we're not thinking about them anymore. I'm going to think about my children and what I'm talking to them about. Like, that's the strategy for getting out of anger and resentment. It's not to just sit there and forgive them and do all that kind of stuff. If you want those thoughts to stop, they're only going to stop if you keep dismissing them and you keep saying, you know what? They don't get any more oxygen in my brain. It may take me a few weeks to quit obsessing and thinking about them. The only reason why it keeps coming back over and over and over again is because you're allowing it to just keep coming back over and over and over again.
So how I stop allowing it is when the thought comes, I just be like, you know what? This is what I've tried to do. When I have those thoughts, I try to replace it with a grateful thought.
You can, so, I would have a grateful thought about your children. I wouldn't have, it's probably like, are you really truly grateful for this situation? Like, thank God this happened. My kids need a little roughing up when it comes to the love department.
No, I would replace it with like, you know, thank God that they didn't have children or, you know what? Thank God that he didn't marry her, you know? So I keep, those are the thoughts that I replace every time I have a thought of like, I want to knock the shit out of her. I think, you know what? She did love my son at one time. She was good to him. He learned a lot from her. It's okay. He's going to be a better person.
We're going to get through this.
Right.
And you can also say, we are getting through this.
Yeah.
It just takes time. I think for you, it's going to be patience.
Yeah. I listening to you, I think I'm on the right track. It's just, I have to allow myself more time and be more patient with myself.
I think if you will just plug the patience in piece, mm-hmm. it will alleviate a lot of the like hurt and anger. Cause I think like there's the natural hurt, but I think you've got like an extra little like, well, let me just bring some drama along with it. Let me just sit here and like be disgusted with myself that I keep thinking about it. Let me just be angry that I keep thinking about it. It's like that part we can for sure set aside. That's
yeah, you're
not
right.
It to get through this. Like, and that's where you can like take the firm hand with yourself. And every time that you're just like wishing it to go away and stuff, be like, no, we're not wishing this to go away. We're going to sit here and we're going to like love our kids. We're all getting through this. You can think all the positive thoughts you want, but it's like, but we're not going to think negative thoughts about us. There's no reason for me to be angry for being a mom who hurts for her children. That's bullshit. Like, that is something that you can be like, no, they like that. They have zero control over it. Like, their actions have nothing to do with you being mad at yourself at the rate at which you process this.
Yeah.
And I think that will be helpful in terms of like, okay, I'm getting a little relief from all of it when I'm not so hard on myself. I'm going to tell you, some little hussy hurts Logan's feelings one day. I won't be mad at me, but I will be in pain for him. I'll be like, this is where we roll.
Like, right.
I will choose that pain every day because he's my baby.
And another thing, like when this happened, I committed to myself to take the high road. We live in a small town. It's like, you know, my kids are on the pedestal for everybody to talk about. And I was like, I promised myself I'm going to take the high road. And I have, and I don't know if that's been more painful for me. Like, I have never reached out to him, her, their parents, nothing. I have, regardless of what they have said, regardless of what they have done, I have not responded. I've received text, I've received emails, and I've never responded just because I'm not going to lower myself. Because trust me, if I say something, it's not going to be pretty. So what I've chose is to say nothing. And I don't know if that's been more harmful for my emotions and that's why I keep hanging on to it, or would I have been better off blowing their ass up? I don't know.
Well, if you had blown their ass up, let's just do it this way. You can't hurt them. Now, you may have felt better, but you would have never hurt them. Remember, they will have their own model. Like, your blow ass up thoughts will now be their circumstance. Their circumstance might be, well, she's a bitch. Mm-hmm. And they may feel like we took the high road. You can't control someone else's model. The only model you ever get control over is yours. I think you're doing fine with the boundary thing. Like, just saying like, you know what? I know that I'm never like going to say anything. I just want you to take the high road with you. I think you're so focused on all of them that you're forgetting about the key player that you can control all the emotions, thoughts, and actions over. And that is your own.
Oh, that's spot on. You're so right. That's huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I am not, you're right. I spend the majority of my time focusing on them, not myself. And good idea.
Yeah. I think you're getting through this amazingly. I mean, to be able to get on a coaching call about this and even wait, because isn't this the second time you've tried to get on this call? Wait for it and be like, and I am doing my daily thought downloads and you know you're thinking and stuff. I think that for this situation, give yourself some credit that you're handling it very well. It's just very easy for all of us to be super impatient with the part of the process that stinks. Because that's the part of the process that stinks. And so that's where I think if we can just exercise some patience, like, you know, it's going to take a little bit. Everybody's going to hurt for a little bit. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And I don't need to judge myself over how fast I'm getting through it. And if I'm thinking about them, that means I'm choosing to think about them, which means I can choose to not think about them also. So just because the thoughts about them come in does not mean that I have to entertain them. That's where you get to take your high road. Just be like, if I'm not going to text them, why am I going to send them text in my brain?
True. Mm-hmm. You know, I just want to say thank you. I truly think you are an amazing person. I love that you don't hoard all your knowledge. You share it. I hope you recognize your blessing every day because you are a blessing to many, many people.
Well, thank you so much.
And I can't wait to see you. I'm coming to camp in October and I'm so excited.
I keep telling everybody, because, you know, we only had like 350 seats for this one. I'm like, you got a golden ticket. We're all in Willy Wonka unwrapping chocolate bars looking for it.
Trust me, I recognize that golden ticket. I am so thankful for it.
We are so excited. Our team meeting was a few minutes ago, and part of what we talked about was we're always talking about the events.
I can't wait. I can't wait. Thank you so much, Corinne. Thanks.
You're welcome. And good luck. Good luck.
Thanks. I got this.
That's right. Bye, lady.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Let's see. Jennifer. Michelle.
Hi.
Amber says, when my therapist gave me permission to be angry, my whole world changed. I love that. All right. What are we coaching on, Michelle?
Well, thank you so much for the time today. I wrote in about confidence. I have been doing a lot of thought work. I joined in June. I've lost 6 pounds since June.
Okay.
You know, unlike any other program I've done, I have been doing a lot of thought work. I've done a lot of recovery worksheets. I'm identifying patterns in my off-plan eats.
Okay.
You know, the emotions that come up again and again are overwhelm, anxiety, stress. And I'm trying to figure out where are these emotions coming from. And I thought, well, maybe it's because I'm working on confidence in general. I'm working on confidence, being more assertive, you know, speaking up my mind. And I thought maybe when I'm feeling like those things aren't happening, I'm stressed, overwhelmed, and I'm eating off plan. But I'm not sure whether that's really the root of it. I'm trying to get to clarity. And I wrote like 6 pages last night of just basically download on what are the common emotions I feel and why am I overeating and why am I not sticking to my plan at certain times? Why do I have low confidence? And I'm just kind of in this spin, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for clarity.
Well, the first thing is always to like figure out like what shit's broke. Like, what is it that I'm thinking? Like, what are the thoughts that are never going to get me where I want to get to? Mm-hmm. And being willing to see that and what you're doing, which is really good. I will say something interesting you said, and I want everybody to hear this, that you're working on confidence, which means you probably have a lack of, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. Otherwise you would never, like, it would be like me working on confidence.
Right.
I would just be doing it because I just be like, I'm so good at it. I'm going to work on it, you know, just to feel good. When you're working on it, it's going to bring up a whole nother level of shit, because in order to be more confident, you've got to access courage and you got to feel nervous and vulnerability. Like, all these other sidecar emotions come along with, you know, just speaking up. And so I could imagine that, like, when you're, if you're not really good at feeling your feelings and you're used to eating them and you're like, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to work on something and make sure I gin up a shit ton more of hard feelings to feel.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to wonder why I'm wanting to eat.
Well, and I'm working through, it's the first time, and actually it's ironic because I've been in my current job for 6 years and I love my work, and I actually do this work in an organization.
Okay.
And it's taken me a while to really start integrating it and applying it to myself. Like, I work with my clients on this. Okay. We do a lot of thought work in work, you know, to change organizational culture. And I'm a coach as well. And when it comes to applying it to myself, it's a lot harder, right? So, you know, some of the other, and I always had this thought or belief that I will be confident when I lose my weight.
Yeah, no. And you're already showing that you can't wait for that.
Right. I cannot wait for that. My job, you know, not depends on it, but in order to be most effective and successful in my job, and I'm not saying I'm not assertive, not this, not that, but I want to be more of, I want to feel comfortable in my own skin. And I think that is maybe what's missing. It's feeling comfortable in my own skin. And I think my belief is it's because of my weight.
Yeah.
And it's been a lifetime of this.
And this is like so important for you to see and for everybody else to see. Like, I think it's my weight that's keeping me from feeling confident. And it's like, no, it's your thoughts about your weight that are keeping you from feeling confident.
Yeah.
Like, what do you make your weight mean?
Well, you know, one thing is I work in healthcare, and we're a very, you know, we're very much into fitness and thrive and proactive management of all kinds of things. And we even have diversity and inclusion initiatives. And I learned that there's a lot of judgment of people who are overweight. Like, that's the number one, like,
but it doesn't matter where you were. Like, right now, everybody on this call is judging you right now.
I feel self-conscious partially in that environment.
You're blaming now the environment. This is what I want you to see, your pattern. The model is circumstance, thought, then feeling, correct? And the confidence comes on the feeling line.
Mm-hmm.
So does lack of confidence.
Yeah.
And you keep saying, I have lack of confidence. It's healthcare. It's my weight. It's my circumstances. They are the ones that are jacking my confidence. If that's the case, you're going to have to lose weight to feel confident. You're going to have to quit your job. Right?
Right.
It's like, and this is the problem. We don't get to feel confidence until we have done things over and over and over again to where we're like, oh, we're good at this now. Then we're confident.
Well, I think
courage.
I think the other things that get in the way of confidence, the other emotions that I've identified are like shame and guilt and regret. And
well, yeah, if you're feeling those, you can't feel confident at the same time.
Right.
And that's, I know, like, your thought about your weight. What makes you think in a way that has a lack of confidence? Like, let's use your weight. Your thought is the industry judges me.
Well, I judge me. I think that's the bottom line, is that I judge myself because, you know, I grew up being judged by many different people. So I have those old tapes and thoughts in my head.
And you use it as an excuse to not change them now. How old are you?
Right.
How old are you?
I'm 51.
Oh my God, you look great for your age, first of all. I just knew you were in your 30s. Well,
thank
you're 31, so you have no fucking excuse.
I know. Well, that,
I don't care who said what back then.
Well, and that creates like more judgment because I'm like, why can't I get my shit together?
I think it matters. Because when you have those thoughts, you go immediately into, why can't I get my shit together? Then immediately going into, and that doesn't matter. That's just old tapes. Next thought, please. Send another one up. I'm ready.
So I'm trying to figure out how to kind of get out of this. I'm going to call it a mess for me because, like, my brain feels messy. It feels messy in my head.
I'll give you that.
One of the things that I've been doing the last several months, and it was actually a part of an initiative of the work around happiness and positivity, is that I wanted to be a more positive person just in general and also for my family, for my career, you know, everything. And I started doing gratitude every day, three things I'm grateful for. I know you mentioned it to the first caller. And then recently I decided, well, maybe I should also take note every day of, you know, things that I'm proud of about myself.
I think all of that's amazing. And I think all of that's really good work. The only problem is it's not going to work for you right now. Doesn't mean you shouldn't do that work so that you can go ahead and start grooving some of that. But the reason it's not going to work is because you're still stuck that my weight causes my lack of confidence. My industry causes a lack of confidence. You haven't taken ownership. I caused my lack of confidence. Mm-hmm. It literally is because of just some sentences that I keep repeating. My past, lack of confidence. You're still in the victim mentality.
Right.
Of things are causing me to feel something. Versus,
and I don't, go ahead. Well, I don't feel control over certain areas of my life. And I started thinking recently, like, well, if I'm not happy with this, that, or the other thing, I can change them. And I feel like in some areas, I'm not living up to my full potential. I know I had big dreams when I was young, and I think I am successful in my career.
Let me ask you this. When you think things, like I am not happy because of certain things, I think you said certain things in my life. What did you say? Because I'm not living up to my potential.
I'm not living up to my full potential in certain areas.
I know I can change those things, right? That's what you said, right? Okay. So this is the subtle thought error that's going on here. I know I'm not living up to my potential, and I need to figure out what thought is stopping me. You're still going to your circumstance line. So I need to change something in order for me to feel different, in order for me to show up different. It's the same thing as I have a lack of confidence because of my number. I have a lack of confidence because of my job. I'm not living up. Now I'm more on the action line. I'm not living up to my potential because of this thing.
So where do I start to shift this?
Figure out the thoughts blocking you. So far, we haven't had one thought yet as to why you feel lack of confidence around your weight. I'm still waiting on that answer. You've given me all the circumstances and all the models and all the action lines, but we still haven't figured out what is Michelle think.
I think that my thoughts are that I'm not good enough, that I'm not attractive. When I'm overweight, I'm not fit. It's hard for me to do things. I also have some physical pain and issues, and the weight I feel like makes, and that are not weight related, but the weight makes it worse. So my thoughts are around, like, I did this to myself. Like, I have, and also some of the other physical things that are probably weight related, I feel like I have destroyed my body.
That is where we start. So when I ask you why you have a lack of confidence and we talk about weight, you need to say it's because I keep thinking that I've done this to myself. And what was the other thought? The last one.
I've done this to myself. I'm not attractive. It's my fault.
It was like, it kind of like it was your fault, but it was like, I've done this to myself and I can't, like, it wasn't that I have no hope, but it was under, it was somewhere like, I destroyed
my body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Maya. I'm glad. My brain can only hold so many thoughts at one time.
Me too.
Yeah, I destroyed my body. No wonder you have a lack of confidence. You're walking around with a belief that somehow you've destroyed your body rather than working on, when it comes to your weight, this is something I can change if I want to.
Mm-hmm.
Is your body destroyed? You look kind of functional.
Well, I feel it in my joints. I mean, I broke my elbow 2 years ago and now I have a rotator cuff issue. So I feel physical pain in certain areas.
How do you go to work every day? Why not just lay in bed?
I have felt that way. I have struggled with that.
Only because you think you've destroyed your body. You have a bum elbow and joint issues.
I think I'm reminded of it, you know, so much that it's hard for me to forget about it and like be future focused. In fact, it was just last night that I realized maybe I also eat because I have physical pain.
You're eating because you're not telling yourself no and sitting there and feeling physical pain. That's why you're eating. It's not because you're not future focused and all this other kind of stuff. It's because you keep thinking, when you feel physical pain, I've destroyed my body. I might as well just keep on destroying it. I'll just eat. Let me do some more damage. I need, because we're always going to prove our thoughts. Always.
Yeah.
I'm really be just be open to the idea real quick. Is your body destroyed?
No.
Like, you have a job. Do you drive?
Yeah.
You go grocery store sometimes?
Every week.
Movies, maybe?
Yep. I have a child. I have a teenager, 14.
Oh, my God. Like, you can walk? Does anybody change diapers for you?
Thank God I don't have to do that anymore.
I meant your own.
Oh, no.
The reason why is that very often we get into such a pity party about us. We think we're destroyed our body. We get caught up in our story and stuff. And then we take what is wrong with us and we make an elaborate tale and dramatic thing about it. I'm going to tell you right now, you should reach out to Maya. I'm so glad you're on this call, Maya. So I coached Maya. Tell us how much weight you've lost to in the chat, please. So I coached Maya, was it in January? 80 pounds. Was it in January? No, you were last October, 2 day. You were the very first 2 day. Maya had a surgery where they basically severed her spinal cord and like literally couldn't get out of a bed for a while. And when she was at the 2 day, she was at last year's October one. She was sold on the idea her life was over. Her body was destroyed. She had like all this shit, immense pain and stuff. And we just worked on the idea of like, what if none of that's true? Like, what if you just have pain each day? And that's just today's pain, but it's not because I destroyed my body. Like, that is fucking heavy, man.
Yeah.
It's never going to help you say no. What do you love to eat at night? When you're eating, what do you love?
Snacky type food.
Like, give me one of them.
I don't know. Chips? Tortilla chips. Popcorn. Okay. Tortilla chips.
Tortilla chips. We got, like, all the lime-salted tortilla chips for days in the pantry. And they're going to call your name every single night. And if you walk in with some joint pain, thinking, I destroyed my body, why bother? Tortilla chips will win every single time. Because your brain is not focused on, like, the only way out is to start taking better care of myself. There's no reason to continue to destroy this body. Let's just see what we could do for it. Let's start believing and thinking and being very focused on the idea that everything that we've talked about our body is so not true anymore. It's just the stuff we think. And this is what all of you need to really understand. You have the things you think about your body, and you guys want to believe them simply because you've heard them so many times in your own brain. That's not a good enough reason to keep believing them, especially when they lead to binging and the denial of your dreams, and you keep eating in a way that makes you feel worse about yourself and in your joints.
Right. And then my confidence goes down because it's like, then I'm quitting on myself.
Yeah, because the only way for confidence to be, confidence is earned with the courage to stand in the pantry and say, not today.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to make myself think that there's more for me out there rather than thinking about a lie that I tell myself that I've somehow destroyed my body.
Yeah.
You don't need confidence to lose weight. You need vulnerability. You need courage. You need willingness. You need discomfort. You need compassion for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You need understanding.
Yeah.
You need that first.
Yeah. And I started I listen to self-love, but I think I need to go back to it because there's so much, as you know, there's so much content. I realized I need to go back to some no BS courses, and I'm going over and over urges and buffering and, you know, some of those that's, it's really helpful to go back over those. And I was like, well, you know, I need to do bite-sized pieces. I can't overwhelm myself because then I'm just going to feel lost, you know?
Yeah. So like, what do you have on your meal plan today? For what time do you love to eat snacks?
Well, so my two times that are trouble areas are before dinner. I'm very hungry. If I'm very hungry, okay, and I feel like I can't wait until dinner. So I try to eat, like, I'll have almonds or whatnot, but maybe around 4, but then at 5:36, I'm starving and I'll munch on vegetables, you know, or as I'm making the salad, and then I'm like, oh, dinner's ready. I'm not really even that hungry anymore.
Then don't eat. I mean, are you eating anyway?
Well, if I'm not at my plus 2, I am.
Okay, that's fine. I was just going to say, like, if you, like, this is what I would do. So, like, I would put, if you know that 4:30 or 5:30, you're already hungry, I would put whatever you typically eat on the plan.
Yeah, or I was thinking of doing something a little more filling, like a stick of cheese will help, you know, quell that.
What is causing you not to lose a lot of weight?
I think it's the off-plan eats, the little thing here, the little thing there. I also think that my plus 2 is maybe a plus 3.
That's fine. But when you wrote in, it impacts my eating and, oh, being overweight. Never mind. I thought it said binging. Being is binging. Sorry.
No, I have
a lot of more binging going on all the time.
Yeah.
Why aren't you talking about this binging? Sorry. I had to go back and
read the letters, and I think they're the same letters.
It's all in there. Just, yeah. I'm just used to seeing it, and I'm like, oh, we're not talking about that now. Okay.
And the other thing is, like, after dinner sometimes, and what I've realized is that I think after dinner, if I'm a little bit hungry, I think I should just have a little piece of toast with some peanut butter, and I'll be satisfied, and then I won't want to eat. So what's wrong with that?
It's not on your plan.
Well, I'm going to put it on my plan.
Okay, you can put it on your plan, but the first thing that's wrong with it is it's not on the plan.
But oh, right.
Have it on the plan. If you're
right.
What I don't understand, and you tell me where I'm missing things. You're eating at almonds at 4, right? Tell me if I'm get the times wrong. 4 o'clock, we're having almonds. 5:30, mm-hmm. We're eating our way through a salad.
Well, it could be later. Sometimes dinner is later, depending on
what time is dinner typically. When you have problems.
Seven-ish.
Okay, so 7. So we're having almonds at 4. At 5:30, we're picking at salads. We're doing some vegetables. Yeah.
It might be later. I might be cooking like 6:30-ish.
Okay, so then 6:30, we're doing it. Let's just say
I'm hungry.
And we're eating. Yeah, okay. So almonds at 4. We're hungry at 6:30. We're eating. And then you need a snack after that? At what time?
Well, maybe like 10?
7:30, 8:30, 9:30. You need to like bump your dinner up. What are you putting in what is your typical dinners? Like you should be able to go like by the evening, you really should be able to, your dinner should be with enough protein and fat and whatnot to like what time you go to bed?
I've been working on being in bed at 10 and reading and just relaxing, you know, my lavender oil. 11, sometimes a little later.
Okay. So if you're having dinner at 6:30 or 7, that dinner should carry you through and you not get hungry. I think you've ate so much at night, you've trained your stomach to send hunger signals up and it's not actually hungry. It's mm-hmm. in the habit of asking for food.
Yeah.
And we need to break that habit. One of the best ways to do it is to make sure that dinner is spot on solid to where you can tell yourself when the hunger signals come up, like we're done eating at 10 o'clock at night. It's not even good for you. Honestly, it's like this. I want all of you to hear it. you really want to retrain your body to not want food at 10, because if you're going to be sleeping at 11, you'll risk getting Barrett's esophagus and stuff later in life, especially at your age. My mom has it from eating dinner at 9 and 10 o'clock and then going and laying down. And then what happens is your belly is trying to digest, the juices are going, and then they bubble up through the esophagus before you even have heartburn. Do you have heartburn?
Yeah, I take medicine.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to like work on this for like when we talk, you know, one of your fears is you've destroyed your body. If we're going to be rebuilding our body, this is a really key piece to do. And I know this sounds way off tangent, guys, but I am really big on this because if you get Barrett's esophagus and if you're already taking medicines for it, the next thing after Barrett's is esophageal cancer. And it's
well, I had an endoscopy not too long ago and everything was fine. So
yeah, but we want to stay in the fine zone. Yeah. We don't want to be like, well, let's roll some bones on our esophagus and just keep on eating at night. I think you're having faux hunger. I think it's feels real. Your stomach is sending up signals, but it's not because you need fuel.
Well, the other thing is sometimes, and I am working on sleep, you know, at my age, I'm in the perimenopause stage. It's better. I'm really working on it and I'm falling asleep much better, but sometimes I'm restless. I have thoughts about work. I'm stressed. I go downstairs and I'm like, okay, what can I have now?
Yeah. So that's when we know we're not hungry. Because if we're going down after we get stressed and we go downstairs, be like, well, what can we eat? Like nowhere in there did you say like, Corinne, I was sitting there thinking about work. And then all of a sudden I noticed all my stomach juices were churning and I heard my stomach growl and all that. No, it's like, no, I'm stressed and I'm going downstairs and looking for food. That's emotional eating.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you put in your salad? Like when you eat dinner, what's your typical dinner?
Well, last night I had a Beyond Burger and I had some salad.
Okay. What do I have?
Well, the Beyond Burger has like 20 grams of some kind of fat, some kind of like
Beyond Burger.
Beyond, it's a vegetarian burger, but okay. It's substantial. I put a little bit of half a slice of cheese on it.
Okay.
I'll have what's tonight. I was going to make this, squash casserole with some mozzarella and then have ground turkey and maybe some lettuce, some salad, depending. I'm realizing that kind of like you said on your podcast, it takes a lot less food to get to my plus two. And so that's why I'm trying to figure out my plus two also, because I'm wondering, am I eating too much?
I want you to set all that aside. That's bullshit. That's distraction. Eat like you're eating. And I want you to stop eating at night. Let's just focus on one thing. If you will quit eating before bed, it will help everything.
Mm-hmm. And
based upon the two meals you've told me that you're having, I want you to think intellectually. If you ate that at 8 a.m., could you make it till 12?
Yeah.
So then you can eat it at 6 and for sure make it till 10. Then you go to bed. Because you don't need fuel. It's not like at 12, you got to make it like another 10 hours through the day in order to survive.
Yeah, I'm realizing a lot of this is just habitual and I have to break the habit. It's like the emotion comes and then I want to eat and I have urges and I do decline the urges a lot. So I should celebrate that.
Yes.
And I do my recovery worksheets when I don't. So that's how I'm noticing these patterns.
I want you very focused on just the night eating for now. I think whatever you're doing for the almonds and then your dinner sounds so healthy and so good. Like I wouldn't even worry about if it's a 3 right now. I think if you just cut out the extra eating, because it's every night, like what are you typically going downstairs and getting?
It's not every night.
Most nights.
A handful of popcorn, maybe a piece of cheese, snacky type foods.
Yeah, that's how we know this is all emotional. This is the extra eating. Because you're not going downstairs and getting carrots. Broccoli's not calling your name.
I mean, yeah.
Cheesy and popcorn is calling your name. It's soothing. It's to get you away from feeling overwhelmed.
Right.
Before you go to sleep. It's to calm your nerves so you can go to bed. Now we're going to calm our nerves with a TDL. We're going to ask ourselves, why are we so overwhelmed? We're going to list out our thoughts. We're gonna be like, and now we know why we're overwhelmed. It's not because we need a snack.
The other thing I was wondering is like, so maybe before dinner, and I don't know if this is a replacement that's healthy, but I know some people eat mints while they're cooking, or I was even reading that peppermint oil, like sniffing it can help.
If you're doing anything different than you're doing, I want every ounce of energy and effort put into no more eating after dinner. One, you're overwhelming yourself with too many things to change. Overwhelm asks questions like, well, it could be this and it could be that. And I wonder if it's this. Let's just try one thing for 3 weeks. Let's quit eating at night. That is going to be plenty of work. I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
You're going to want like the stuff. And like, at, you know, I know it's cheese some nights, but sometimes them tortilla chips are getting in there. Because that was the first thing you told me that you like to snack on. So I know that like the biggest offender for you right now is eating right before bed. And the other thing that it does is that like if you just want to talk like in terms of fat burning, if you go to bed needing to digest your food, you're not burning fat. You're not tapping into your insulin. You're not like letting all the insulin run out and letting your body go to work on what it needs to go to work on. And in the morning, like I don't know, when do you eat breakfast?
Well, I've gotten better about that. If I'm not hungry, I won't eat and I'll bring a snack to work just, you know, in case I get hungry. It depends on how early my meetings are. Sometimes my breakfast is at like 7 and I'll go till 11 or so or 12. Sometimes my breakfast is later, like this morning it was at 8 or 8.
So then when your breakfast is like if you eat at 10, you don't even have a 12-hour fast. Guys, all of us need to, like, our bodies were designed to not eat and take a digestive break so that it can repair and do its functions. It needs to not have food for about 12 hours every day. That's why we sleep. If we sleep at 8 and we don't eat for 2 to 3 hours before bed, and then we don't eat for an hour or two after we first wake up, boom, we're done. We've 12-hour fasted. Like what time you wake up in the morning?
6:30-ish.
Yeah, so it's not that hard if you eat breakfast at like 8 o'clock. You see what I'm saying though? Like when you sleep and you do all that, like give your digestion a break. Give your body that opportunity to burn. I think you're just cheating yourself on some fat burning time. And it literally takes a piece of cheese to stop it.
Yeah. I'm going to, I like the idea of just focusing on that.
Yeah. I would just stay right there. It'll reduce that overwhelm when it comes to the weight loss. And then what I want you to do is start doing the real work, which is I'm eating to avoid my overwhelm. Now I need to understand why I'm causing myself to have overwhelm, and it will never be my job, and it will never be my weight, and it will never be a circumstance. It will always be everything that I'm thinking. And download that so that you can see that and then just be like, you know what? I take complete ownership of everything I'm thinking. This is all the reasons why I feel this way, and that's okay. I'm going to tell you, so much overwhelm goes away when you just write and you're just like, oh, that's why I'm overwhelmed. It's because all of these sentences are running through my mind versus, oh my God, no wonder I'm overwhelmed. I'm a broken ass soul. I've destroyed my brain on top of my body now. That, my friend, is what your next obstacle will be, is not to judge what you write. You don't need to. Your brain is working just fine.
Okay, yeah.
Focus on one thing. I know this is going to be so good for you.
Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah. You're doing so much right already.
I know, I am. And I have to celebrate that.
Yes. Celebrate it without a snack.
I mean, that's where the confidence comes in, you know? Huh. Like, no, I have good things that I'm doing for myself, and I have good things to offer other people.
Yes. Keep thinking that, keep writing about that stuff. But for now, we're just not going to eat at night, and we're going to allow ourselves to watch what we're thinking. I guarantee it'll help the sleep too. You start really watching what you're thinking at night and like, I'm just going to get it all out. I just like, I'm not going to feel like wanting to do this. I'm for sure. Like you will not want to do this part and just be like, but I'm going to anyway. I'm going to have the courage to start every night really writing about why I'm feeling overwhelmed and stressed right now. It's because I'm just thinking these things. And when you really take ownership that it's not something causing it, and it's like, it's because I keep thinking I'm not living up to my potential. That's another thought. Maybe you've lived up to all of your potential for where you are now, and now you're building on doing new things because your potential is increasing. You're starting to understand your own thoughts and feelings that have been limiting it, not the things that are limiting it, you know?
Yeah.
You're doing good. You're doing real good.
I hope one day I have this goal maybe to be a coach in PMP, so, or a mentor, whatever you call them.
Call them all the things. Sometimes not even those words.
Okay, maybe I'll rethink it.
I always tell people, I'm like, watch what you ask for. I am not an easy boss. Ask Kathy Hartman. She gets an ass chewing at least 3 times a week just because I'm in the mood.
I know. I've listened to your calls, your coaching before. I've listened to the, before I was in the tribe, I was a groupie. So I would listen to your call, your podcast. And it was funny, the banter back and forth with you and Kathy.
It's hilarious.
I felt for her sometimes.
I think everybody feels for it. Hell, I feel for me for how I talk to her. All right. Well, thank you for such a good call.
Thank you.
Right, good luck.
Thanks.
All right. Let's get one more, guys. I went long on that one. I was really cranking there. Melissa, having a hard time wrapping your head around the process. Sounds so funny. Got to do a brain wrap. Oops, I'm going to ask you to start your video, Mama.
Hey, girl. I don't know why it came up as Angela. That's so weird.
I don't know. Yeah. It's Angie Thomas. When you submitted, for some reason we have it as, I bet it's because that's how you type your name into the, it's probably how your username shows up in
maybe
this thing. All right. So what are we coaching? Hey. Somebody says, yay, Angie, my love.
That's my rabbit holers.
The rabbit holers. That's a good name.
We're going to coach on resisting the side, but real quick, I want to give you some quick stats and I will make this fast. Okay. I don't know if you remember me. We cried together about my amazing daughter last time, Tiana.
Yes, I do remember this now. Okay.
So here it is. Tiana is down 17.8 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Sorry. I'm already going to start crying. I'm going to try not to. My oldest daughter started with me this week, lost 4.2 pounds.
Good for her. What's her name?
My second daughter, that's what we call her. It's my daughter's best friend.
Okay, second daughter.
Made her first plan last night.
Awesome.
I just made Queen's Club on Friday.
Good.
On the dot. And together, my family has lost 47 pounds altogether since June.
It's been so good. Since June?
Since June.
Oh, wow. All right. Well,
yeah. So we're super stoked.
Y'all get the gold stars.
And you make money off us, girl, because I just ordered my third planner. It just shipped because I had to order one for Chelsea now, too.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
We freaking love you.
Well,
okay.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to share that.
So do you have problems today or are you just here to like brag?
No. Okay. Just bragging. No, I'm just kidding. So about 3 days ago, I had a realization that I am resisting my side. I've been doing amazing on most of it. And I keep telling everybody how easy this is. Oh, it's amazing. And you guys have to do this. And then I had it like the same day that I was just like bragging all over you, I realized that I'm an asshole. That I am, when I'm eating, I have made so many changes, you know, going from 9 meals to 3, and I'm rarely ever snacking. I'm doing all these great things, But when I'm eating, I feel myself like, oh my God, I need to, I can feel it coming. Like I can feel it starting to take that big deep sigh. No. Wait for me. Hold on. I'm not done. I need a few more bites.
Okay.
And yeah.
Why not just stop? Even sometimes if you're having all those thoughts, like even if all that's happening, why not just stop?
That's a great question. Yeah. Because, sometimes I do and I love it and I feel good and I toss those bites in the trash, no problem. And other times I'm like, damn it, this is good and I want to finish it.
Okay. But why do you allow that thought, I want to finish it and damn, that's good, make the decision?
That is a great question. I don't know. I'm so sorry, Corinne. I'm having a full-blown panic attack and I don't know why, but I need to go. I need to go deal with this. I'm freaking out right now. Like I need to eat. I'm way past my plus two and I'm panicking and I'm getting like shaky.
Why don't you just breathe and just stay here for a minute?
Oh my God. I am freaking out so bad.
Well, I will tell you, for somebody who's freaking out, you look amazing.
I'm like full blown head to toe, like burning inside, like freaking out. Okay. Yeah. So I don't know why I do it.
It's literally because you're just not telling yourself. And that's a thought that I have very often. And I'm willing to just not eat anyway.
Okay. Thank you, my loves. I see all my girls on here. I'm so sorry. Oh, I can't believe it. I told myself, like, when that last call was one, I'd just go make your food and then you'll eat. And I've been not eating for my anxiety. And I don't know. I think it's just freaking me out because now I'm on this call and I'm like, oh, I really.
Well, let me ask you this. What would be the worst thing that happened if we had to talk 5 more minutes before you ate?
I could pass out and die. Seriously, well, that's been amazing. My thought for the last 5 years. So,
well, let's just see if you pass out and die.
No, let's not.
No, here's the thing. This is what I want to tell you. It is just a panic attack. And you're allowing the panic attack to take over.
Yeah. And I've been doing great with not doing that since I started. About 2 weeks in, I stopped eating for my anxiety.
Yeah.
Because I used to panic and shake if I didn't eat every 2 hours. Yeah. And I really am freaking out. Sorry. I'm trying to do everything I can to calm down, but I'm losing my crap right now.
I wouldn't even calm down. Here's what I would do. I would just be like, is there just a lot of things going on in your brain right now?
It is like my hands and feet are sweating. I'm starting to get shaky. The inside is burning. Like I am full on, like I'm shaking. I'm freaking out.
Yeah. What is the freak out part though? Like right now there's like
I need to eat really badly.
And do you need to eat? I mean,
I don't know.
Huh?
I think so. I feel like I do.
That's what I want you to hear though. I feel like I need to eat because I'm having a panic attack. But if you were like, if I was doing the same thing, I want you to just imagine for a second that I was just like, oh my God, Angie, I am now having a panic attack. Everybody, we just have to like close the call. I'm going to have to go eat right now. What would you think?
I think you have low blood sugar.
But I don't. What else would you think?
Neither do I, but that's the feeling. And right. So my brain says, you have low blood sugar, you need to eat, but it's not real. I am not diabetic. I'm freaking out.
You're not. I want you to quit apologizing. You're not freaking out. You know what you're doing? You're having a normal human experience that you have decided is wrong. Rather than having a normal human experience and deciding it's okay. You've put another layer of pain on top of your panic attack. The worst thing I could do for you right now is to say, yeah, you should go feed that feeling. That would be like me offering you advice, literally to say, Angie, you've done so well. Your family's lost 40 something pounds. How much was it?
47. Exactly.
Your family's lost 47 pounds. And anytime any of you feel bad, I want you to go eat.
Right. I know it's absurd. I even bought one of those diabetes tester kits and like obsessively tested like 13 times a day for weeks at some point last year. and never was it low. It was always really, really good. And so I kept telling myself, like, I tried to fix it by telling myself, like, give yourself a mental hug every time you feel that way, because your body's kicking out. So it's doing what it's supposed to. So quit freaking out.
I hope all of you wrote that sentence down. Seriously.
It's okay. And the panic is coming down. Thank you for waiting with me through that, because I was sure about to run and go drink a juice.
Yeah. It was like 2 minutes.
Yeah. I trained myself really bad. The last 5 years have been hell. I was literally eating myself to death, because every time I panicked, I thought I need to eat, because when I ate or drank an apple juice or whatever, the panic came down.
Yeah.
And then I know that's coincidence, but I trained it, and I have not eaten for my anxiety. Let's see. I started June 6th that night, and about 2 weeks in, I beat that, and it's been like 5 years of every 2 hours. So it's been an amazing freedom. Mm-hmm. And I almost just went, I literally was about to get off the call with you and go drink a juice.
Yeah. And I think what you like, the reason why I wanted to, like, you know, make you stay here is, one, we have a lot of girls that have panic and anxiety and all these things, and they think the solution is to escape the emotion rather than to just sit through it, not judge themselves. That's why I was talking to you about, like, what if you're just being a human right now? All of us are going to have, like, we were all wired to experience anxiety and panic and stuff for reasons. So that if, like, right now you're panicking because your body got nervous. It went to what it always does, which is panic. And then it said, and we must need to eat, because that's how we've always solved it. And now you get to tell yourself, like, girl, you did all these blood tests. You know it ain't the blood. Like, you've already proven to yourself you don't need to eat. Now you have to keep retraining your brain. This is going to happen. And I'm just going to tell you, it's going to happen a little bit more often, probably right now, just because you've only been doing it since June 6th.
Mm-hmm.
We're only 2 months in. You're not going to rewire years and years and years of dealing with panic anxiety with food in 2 months. I don't care how much fun you're having on the program. It's like your brain is like, fuck that blonde chick. Where's the juice?
No, you're absolutely right. I didn't even, that was not even why I wanted this call. It just happened. Like, as soon as I got on, I was like, I'm trapped. That's what happens, is mentally I tell myself I'm trapped. I'm stuck on this call that I really want to fucking be on. And then I waited, you know, patiently for it. But then instantly I'm like, I'm trapped. I can't escape and I can't get to food. I'm going to die. Like, that's literally what went through my head as soon as I got on the call. And then it went full body. I get like chills. They're like hot chills inside, top to bottom. I start sweating. I get shaky. And then the shakes mean low blood sugar in my mind, you know?
Yeah. Your brain is always looking at all the things. And now what you have is, you have one more experience where you thought things, you thought it was blood sugar, you thought you were stuck, you thought things, and it's like, and that's okay. None of it's true. Because you weren't stuck on the call.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you have a phone. You could have easily went click. I don't give a damn what she says. We're going to go have our juice.
Well, I legit was like, I'm sorry, Corinne. I was like,
oh, I know.
Ready.
I was just ready to be hung up on. I was like, I'm just going to keep talking, see what happens, you know?
I would have never, ever signed up for a coaching call again. So I'm glad I didn't do that. I hung up on Corinne. I'm out. No.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things that I want you to see, though, is that you're going to keep going through this process and proving to yourself how much of what you've believed in the past is just not true. All of us need to do this. We all need to be really good at really thinking, I don't have to believe my past just because it's sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
You've just disproven, like, all your past is a collection of stories you acted upon that you told yourself. That's it. And now you're going to have another collection of stories you're going to tell yourself that you're going to act upon or not act upon. That's all that's really happening in the world. And one of the things if I was you, I'd watch this call again to see how normal you freaking look when you're having a panic attack. Seriously. We all think that we, like, in your mind, I am sure you were batshit crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm shaking. My hands are tingling. I'm all hot. Like, you had to keep, this is how we know that none of us saw it, because I just kept acting normal because you looked normal. And you're like, no, let me just describe to you how terrible this really is. Yeah. I want you to see that nothing's really happening but sentences and chemicals. Lots of chemicals.
I totally just did not die or get pregnant. I love that saying. I love that. The first time I ever heard you say it, I immediately adopted it. Now every little challenge, I'm like, oh, look, I did that and you're pregnant.
And we've already crossed the 5-minute mark. You just knew you would die after 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't kill anyone today. It's a good day on coaching.
I almost texted my daughter to tell her to bring me a juice, even while we were talking.
She probably would have went, like, it's a no.
Thank you.
I just want you to, like, take some time to, like, what did you even get on the call with to begin with?
Because resisting the sigh.
Yeah, resisting the sigh. It's the same thing that I think you just learned a more important lesson, but it is the same thing. I want you to be like, you know what? I will probably never want to stop at my sigh for like the next 6 months. And I will always be aware of my thoughts around it. And I'm going to challenge myself to just stop. Because the worst that will happen is I will miss the food. That's literally the worst that happens, is like, I'm going to miss my food.
Yeah. I actually, that's kind of a two-parter for me. I just started doing the paperwork on it when I realized it a couple days ago that I'm resisting this. I am now making myself do a recovery worksheet, because that's overeating if my body was satisfied and I still kept, even if it's only a few bites. So I told myself, okay, all right, so you're going to do a recovery worksheet every time you resist your sigh, because obviously you ate a couple extra bites. But I am mourning the food a little bit, especially if we go out to eat. I'm proud of myself and I'm like taking pictures. I'm like, look what I left. And at the same time, I literally have gotten choked up at restaurants because I'm like, wanted to eat that. And I think that's absurd.
No, it's not absurd. It's very natural. It's natural to miss the old you. You are divorcing the old you. You're saying goodbye to the old you. It's not really the food. We always think it's the food. What makes us emotional is that we're saying goodbye to a version of us that we've lived with for a long time. Mm. We're saying hello to the version of us that makes different choices. So that's really what goes on in those moments.
The food
is just the trigger for us to be like, I think we're really changing. Like, this is not going to be us anymore. And it does get emotional. Sometimes it's a little sad. And sometimes it's frighteningly exciting.
Yeah. I get super excited
for this, but I'm scared as shit because it's like,
That's definitely where I am, like, every day.
Yeah.
Because I'm super, like, on fire, excited. I love every part of this. I love doing my plan. I know you say only to take 2 minutes, but I don't. I take my time, and I, like, enjoy it. It's my nightly process.
Look, if you want to enjoy it, like, if you're taking a long time because you enjoy it, I'm all in. If you're taking a long time and getting on a call with me and cursing my name, stop doing that part.
No, I love it because I'm finding that I have taste buds. Who knew? I was shoveling so much food in before that I didn't enjoy anything. And not that I want to necessarily, it's not about enjoying the food, but I do enjoy my food now. Like, I'm like, oh, this tastes good. And I'm finding that I'm cutting out so much crap because it doesn't taste good. And I want to eat that chicken burger because that's bomb, you know, versus I would have ate whatever, you know, a bowl of cereal because I needed to eat every 2 hours. Now I'm like, I just made some bomb shit and I'm gonna tear this up, and I enjoy it.
I love this call, how much you're excited about the journey. This is what I try to tell people all the time. This was how I lost my weight. I finally, for the first time, started a damn diet and got excited. Like, it was like, I didn't feel like I was punishing myself anymore. I was like, I felt like I was learning new things, challenging myself. And like, it wasn't that every moment was easy. Like, we all have moments where we mourn things and stuff, but it's like so much of it was, oh my gosh, like, I just didn't even realize that I could enjoy this if I allowed myself to enjoy it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me get another girl. I have a 1:30 call, so she and I have to jam in 3 minutes.
Thank you, Lev.
You're welcome. Thank you for sticking with me.
Of course. Bye.
They are doing so good. All right, Melissa, let's see if we can do it. I know I'm going to have to like hustle you. I'm so sorry. Let me go to, while you're coming on, let me pause it too. I forgot to hit record.
Yeah. So for the last week in June and then all of July, I've done a plan. I've done an assessment every single day.
Okay.
I have followed my plans.
Okay.
I've had two instances where I thought maybe I overate, but okay. It was literally like a, maybe I did, maybe I didn't. So okay. I've been here since January. In January, I clearly had a sigh when I was full. It was very clear, and I knew that was my stopping point. When I restarted the last week in June, that is not there, and I still have not found it.
Restarted. Why were you restarting?
Because I took a break.
Let's just be real honest. Was it a break? Like, oh, I'm so happy with everything. I'm taking a break. Or was it like, yeah. I stopped doing shit because of bullshit.
Yep.
Okay. So since the end of June, so now we're just like narrowed in on results first. What do you think should have happened in the last 3 weeks?
I think that I should see some movement in the scale.
Okay.
And I'm going back and forth between the same 3 pounds.
Okay. And so you have done, you've done your plan. I didn't hit record, so I'm recapping.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The call. Okay. So it's been, is it been 3 weeks? Are we, is
it's
this
been four. It's
four
been
weeks. Four. Okay. All right. I just want to make sure we have accurate numbers. So 4 weeks, 24-hour plan every day, right?
Yes.
And assessment every day?
Yes.
And no overeats?
No off plans? There were two that I questioned. No off plans.
No off plans. Okay.
Yeah.
And two questionable overeats?
Yes.
Okay. Why were they
questionable? It was to a plus three. If
so there wasn't like I was face down in cake. It was just like I might have overate.
Right.
Okay. All right. And scale's not moving. What are you eating typically?
Well, I can recognize when I get hungry, and a lot of times I'm noticing too that I go too far, meaning that I get shaky. Like a lot of days I'm not eating. I've never been a breakfast person, so a lot of days I'm not eating until I think the earliest.
Tell me today's plan.
Okay. So today's plan, I've got for lunch, I drink coffee with creamer and Fairlife in it.
What is Fairlife?
It's milk.
Okay. So coffee with milk in it?
And creamer.
And cream. And is that creamer with sugar or just creamer?
No, it's sugar-free hazelnut.
Sugar-free hazelnut.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I used to love that shit, by the way. Just saying. I used to drink
it. It's my one vice.
I had to drink it. It was not agreeing with my gastrointestinal tract. Let's put it that way.
And I'm not sure that it agrees with mine, but I love it. So
okay.
And
what time do you have this?
I drink it until like noon. I drink it all morning. It's in a big Yeti.
And how much creamer do you think you're putting in this?
Oh, I know how much I'm putting in it.
Enough to want to reduce so you can lose 3 pounds permanently?
Well, I put half a cup of the Fairlife milk and a fourth a cup of creamer.
Okay. So what I want to do is as we go through this, because if you haven't gotten results in 4 weeks, we're going to have to tweak something because you're doing the plan. So that means in the plan is now the problem.
Right.
So that's all we're doing here is, and I want all of you to see how I'm doing it is when we get factual, it is so much easier to figure out what to solve.
Right.
Because like you're not overeating, but you may not be planning in a way that gets you the result you want now, like in terms of what you put in. So we've got coffee, milk.
Right.
This coffee may be part of the issue. I'm just going to warn you.
And if it is, I want to figure that out, and I am willing to level up.
Perfect.
Because I'm real tired of this game.
I've
been fighting this 25 pounds for 3 years, and I'm tired of it.
And that's a great attitude. I love that.
Okay.
Great. Then what do we do after that? So we have that in the morning, and then what's today's lunch?
Okay, so, and I had my one bar on there if I needed it, which is a protein bar, but I usually don't eat it.
It's okay, so most of the time we're not eating. So what if we just always took that off, no matter what?
I can, because I don't, usually I don't eat anything until lunch now.
Okay. And what's lunch?
So today for lunch, I had half a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and watermelon and cantaloupe.
Yum. I have watermelon downstairs.
Yes.
All right. And then what's next?
So for dinner, I have home 2 to 2.
And what's that going to be?
I don't know. Usually my husband and I have a dinner discussion what we're going to have about this time, about 3 o'clock.
If you had to guess, what would you guys be having on a typical night? Like, what are some of the standard fares?
Spaghetti, tacos, burgers. Last Monday night, we had steak and a baked potato. Okay. It's usually very simple. Okay. We're not.
Anything after that?
Well, I had I have snacks on here. So usually
and
I have
snacks. Okay. What else are we having?
So I had nuts, 100 calorie nuts, and a piece of cheese or a yogurt.
And we eat those every day?
I put them on there, but I don't eat them.
Do you ever eat them?
I did at the beginning.
And you're not eating them now? Okay.
No.
Here's what I would do. One, I would just clean up your plan and let's just make it the actual plan I'm going to do.
Right.
Right now you have the plan in case I'm afraid I get hungry. I'm right. Pretty sure that's why all those snacks are on there. Otherwise, you wouldn't even, if you weren't afraid of hunger, you just wouldn't
right.
even come on there, right? All right.
Right.
So we're just going to take the protein bar out, the almonds, the nuts, and the yogurt. I think what food you have, you don't need them anyway. Seems like you've got good food. My main thing is there's just not a lot of vegetables going on.
Well, I usually eat a salad. So dinner, there usually is a salad with that.
Salad with this other stuff.
Yes.
Okay. I really think it's just level up time. It's
okay,
going
but
to
can
be.
Can I add one more coffee yeah. thing in there?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if a lot of it is what's is a lot of things that are playing into it, and I don't know how to get it out of on paper. So my big question is stress, can that contribute to the scale not moving as much as it is?
It can.
Okay.
First, before I would be like, it's stress. Like, I think you should manage your stress. I think you should do your TDLs. I think you should do that. Like, take ownership that I feel stressed because I'm thinking these things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're not there, you need to get there. Because the one thing that will help with weight loss and stress is if you don't blame things for sure, like, you know, we ain't got no money this month or whatever it is, right? Whatever's like, look for what you think's triggering stress and then figure out what thoughts you have around that. Mm-hmm. Take that to ask coaches. But I would do that independently for sure.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Now, in terms of just this food thing, I think to lose this 25 pounds, you're going to need to level up your food a little bit.
Okay.
I think your scale is just showing you that where you're at, that this may all taste good and it may be very enjoyable and be what you love and stuff. And it's super realistic. But here's the thing. At a certain point with even the realistic, the first thing about the realistic plan is it is for you to get into the habit of following the plan. You've done that part. Now you're on to phase two. Your realistic plan doesn't get you results now. For some people, the realistic plan, because they'll just follow the plan and not have binging and lots of overeats, that gets them 50 to 60 pounds off. And then they hit where you're at. It's like, but it's realistic. And it's like, yeah, but what got you here doesn't get you there.
Right. But where I'm thrown off is that a month and a half ago, I was eating like a complete asshole.
Yeah.
Like sugar out the wazoo, all this stuff. And so then when I look back at that, even though I don't have it written down to look at the data, mm-hmm. me being to this point doesn't make any, and still not seeing results is where I have a lot of resistance. Because
but the problem is your thought that you remember so clearly eating like an asshole is like, this is so much better. Maybe it's not. Maybe you were like, this is where we start kind of can get into calorie things. Maybe when you were eating like an asshole, you weren't eating all the fruit and stuff. You're just not eating healthier.
Right. Yeah. And I think, and you said something too right there about calories. So I'm a nurse and I just took a nutrition course because I'm going back to school. And the line that caught me was, if you are not eating enough calories, your body will hold on to weight.
So you're eating plenty of calories.
Well, hell, am I eating enough calories?
No, you're eating plenty, but you're drinking a quarter cup of sugar in the morning in the form of fake sugar and wanting to lose weight.
Right.
You're saying, I would like to lose 25 pounds, but I really need to be able to hang on to sugar-free creamer, like a quarter cup of it, not a tablespoon. Mm-hmm. And I would just like, and I would take all of those snacks. I don't think you're under eating at all. I think it's like you need better quality. I think your body is craving quality.
Okay.
So like when you have your salad, like make a bigger salad, have a little less taco and stuff.
Uh-huh.
When you're having your lunch, that, I mean, I'll just be honest, that's a lot of sugar, even if it's fruit. It's jelly, bread, fruit, and a little peanut butter along for the ride.
Uh-huh.
And you had all the fake sugar first thing in the morning.
Uh-huh.
So I think your body can't really get into the fat burning mode. Like if you were going to do something different in your peanut butter and jelly, I don't want to, like, I would probably do like a regular sandwich that had vegetables on it.
Okay.
Like a real meat sandwich. Do you eat meat?
Yes.
Yeah. Like a, do like have a sandwich, but have a sandwich that doesn't have sugar on it because you're having sugar in your form of your fruit. Just uh-huh. Like, this is where, like, this is good, better, best.
Uh-huh.
I think you've got to start moving into better, best categories.
Yeah. Well, and to that's the first peanut butter and jelly that I've had.
Well, like, what is a typical lunch then? Like, give me what.
I mean, usually I take whatever leftover from dinner. Or I do have a ham sandwich that I take to work if I'm working.
But does it have vegetables on it?
No. It has ham and cheese.
Right. That's what I want you to see. It's like you don't have a lot of real food on your plan.
Right.
Your body is like, I think what your body is saying, I need real food and I need you to start giving me some real food. So like if you're going to have a ham sandwich, the sidecar needs to be a salad. The sidecar needs to be baby carrots, guacamole. It needs to be those things. It can't be a sandwich and chips, even if it's just a small portion of chips.
Yeah.
I think your body is saying, hey, I'm ready to release weight, but I really need you to like up the game on some of the nutrition. And I would look for areas where you can do it. Doesn't mean you have to have a radical overhaul and eat like an asshole that you don't love. But like when you make pasta, make sure like when I was losing weight, when we would have pasta, I didn't ever do noodles anymore. I finally got to where my good, better, best was I got rid of noodles and I would take a big steamer bag of vegetables and then I would make the meat sauce and the cheese and I would toss the vegetables in it. Because at some point I got to where I wasn't going to lose weight eating pasta because I wanted to eat more pasta than, like, I didn't want to just eat a few bites.
Right.
And I needed more vegetables. It was a cheap way to get in vegetables.
Yeah.
Is that helpful?
It is. It's just, I'm not, and it's not that I can't learn to like them. I just didn't grow up eating vegetables. I'm a salad person, so I can easily do a salad, but I have trouble incorporating other vegetables.
So like when you do burger night, just do a big salad and chop your burger and stuff up on it.
Yeah.
Like somebody said, try zoodles and stuff. Like,
yeah.
Just try them. You're not going to ever like vegetables if you're not eating them.
Right.
You have to start introducing them. But I didn't grow up with vegetables either.
Yeah.
Like none. We couldn't even afford vegetables. I mean, seriously, if we had a vegetable, it was like, what?
Yeah.
I must be at McDonald's and getting shredded lettuce on my Big Mac, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I learned to like vegetables because now you had such a beautiful thought. Like, I'm willing to do more things to do this weight. And I think for you, it's an easy solve. It's like, we just need to sub a few things out.
Yeah. Like,
just cut your creamer in half for now. Don't even cut it out. Just get to, like, rather than a quarter cup, do a half, eighth of a cup. Do an eighth.
Yeah.
And just start doing that until you get to where you have, like, a healthier coffee.
Is the Fairlight, the milk okay?
I think it is. Is it just milk?
It's like a different kind of fill. It has a higher protein. It's like a
fine
kind of milk.
I'm sure it's fine.
I like my coffee light brown.
Okay, then I would err on milk, and I would make sure there's plenty of fat in that milk. Don't get the skim.
Yeah.
Because it's full of sugar.
It's 2%. Yeah, it's 2%.
I would even go to whole milk.
Okay.
Like, I would, like, seriously, I would switch over there, and I would get off that creamer.
Right.
Like, but do it slowly. You don't have to do it overnight. Just do it slow. Or switch to heavy whipping cream.
Okay.
That's what I use.
Yeah. I think somebody suggested oat nut milk, too.
Could do that. Like, yeah.
Possibility, like, but.
Yeah. I think, like, adjust that a little bit. Take your whoobies away on your snacks. You're not eating them anyway. It'll be good for your brain to see you not having them on the plan. And then I would just level up a little bit. That's all. I mean, like, I don't want you taking your fruit out, but just, like, always be thinking, like, you know, is this going to help me, like, nutritionally and stuff? I think that's kind of why you're stalled. Like, our bodies like
nutrition.
And if it's not getting enough of stuff, it will hang on to fat to protect us.
Well, and I had told MJ, God love MJ Sharifi, and Maya too. They're both helping me. But, you know, I told MJ that it's just then my brain shifts into, ha, I knew this plan had a catch, a blah, 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 you know. But I had told her after I got through July, through your gift of fat thing, my next thing, because I have a lot of chronic inflammation in my neck and pain, was to consider no sugar, no flour. So maybe that's just a good start to shift in that direction.
Yeah, this, I'm going to tell you, you're proving the plan works. Your plan, your realistic plan, is showing your body doesn't like it. And now it's going to be your thought work to decide, is the 25 pounds and having less inflammation more important than me not liking vegetables and need to
breathe? It is. It is.
Yeah. And that's how we know it's working, because you're doing all the other things. Imagine how easy it's going to be for you if you're not having to figure out how to do no sugar flour while also figuring out how to plan, while also having to listen to your 2-2 and do all these other things.
Yeah.
All right. All right, I have to get to my other call. Thank you so much. I'm glad you got your...
I'm sorry about that glitch.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay.
Thank you.
Y'all have a good one. Bye, everybody. Thank you.